Change is gonna come.
See that you actually are a leader.
I was with Nike for a very long time and built my career in retail.
You know, I think this podcast just got its first exclusive.
Being an entrepreneur is hard. The highs are really high and then the lows are really low.
That I'm actually really interested in hearing more about.
Building more and more books of business.
Can you talk to us a little bit about what it's like transitioning verticals?
Being open to opportunity.
How do I learn something different in a different industry?
And they feel like, okay, like, if not now, then when?
Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us on today's live Motivated podcast. We typically feature thought leaders and industry experts, and we discuss what they're working on, some of the strategies that they've deployed during this time, and most importantly, how they've shifted their mindset and how they're keeping themselves as well as the people around them motivated. My name is Dahlia Strom, and like Nancy said, I teach marketing at FIT, and I also run a company called Rethink Connect, where we focus on storytelling through experiential moments. And I'm lucky enough to be joined by my wonderful co-host, Pablo Henderson, who's the VP of Marketing at Equinox Hotels.
Thank you, Dahlia. And I tell you what, when I go back to my alma mater, I hope that they refer to me as a prize alum.
Yeah.
I think that's quite special.
Yeah.
Speaking of prizes, we have a prize guest that we've really scored the big time with our guest on today's podcast. We've got Katie Hunt, as Nancy mentioned, who's the co-founder of Schofields, the most interesting store in the world, but also an FIT graduate. And so we're going to open up the conversation. Katie, welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Motivated podcast today.
Welcome.
Pablo, guys, thank you for having me. I don't quite get the moniker of being an FIT grad, but I do get to say that when I was in my first job in New York City and I was so beyond exhausted, I used to take night classes at FIT as a way to do something for myself. So it is really lovely to be here with you guys today.
Thank you so much. And I think just to further that a little bit, it's kind of interesting to think about, like, while you're also working, that you were able to take additional classes. What motivated you to start there?
I think for me, I've always found energy in creation. And I don't, in previous jobs before Schofields, where I definitely have painted some walls and done some construction work that I also am not qualified for. You know, back in the day when I was working in a customer service desk job, I used to want to take classes at night as a way to kind of have that creative outlet for myself. I think there's kind of that checklist that everybody has. And when those things are getting checked off, they're at their happiest, they're at their highest performance. And for me, a lot of that is getting to work with my hands. So I took a sewing class. I took a few other kind of history of classroom design things, and it was great. But it was a way for me to almost focus on something else that allowed me then to the next day to go into my job feeling re-energized.
I always think it's interesting when someone embarks on a hobby or something extracurricular, and the thing that they're pursuing has a very practical, you know, purpose. Like, you know, I want to work with my hands. I want to be creative. But there's usually like this metaphor, you know, you chose sewing. At the time you were probably putting things together, you know, and figuring out like what was going to happen with regards to this plan. You know, there's usually some other layer to sewing and stitching things together and connecting and whatnot. Could that have been the case?
I think the brain works in crazy ways. And you know, I see different patterns in the course of my career at different times of when I've needed different outlets. So when I first moved to New York and I had graduated from college, I graduated from Brown, I moved to New York City and I was going to be an actor. And that was what I wanted to do with my life. And it turned out very quickly that I was very good at being an extra. So I walked through the backgrounds of a lot of very popular TV shows for a few years. And it felt at that time kind of like I wasn't living up to my purpose. And I think that was a time in which I started having side hustles. I started an eBay store, and I would go at 3 o'clock in the morning and wait in line at the sample sales to be the first one in the door and buy up a bunch of inventory, sell it, and pay my rent. And like, I became a weird entrepreneur, you know, doing these side hustles. And so when I applied for, you know, a very entry level position at a company that was unknown at the time, and started working there in the customer service department, answering emails and phone calls, it was Warby Parker, and I ended up being their third employee. And I think what happened for me during that time was that I fell in love with something. But it was something that was so outside of my normal comfort zone to work in a startup, and there was so much to learn. So I think that also going to FIT at night and sewing and doing something with my hands was very grounding for me in an environment where everything was new and I was learning things and I was feeling very unprepared. It's not you know, a coincidence that 11 years later in my own business, I am 11 days into a 100-day challenge of working out every day for 100 days. I think sometimes having sustainable routine that is physical, either with your hands or with your body, actually leads to the process of thought. It allows all the information in your body to kind of have an outlet that it's allowed to kind of take over your brain because you're thinking about something else and come to conclusions. And so I definitely see that pattern throughout my entire career of having set these challenges for myself because it allows me to think about something else.
Can we deeper dive into that a little bit? I love that you just talked about the sense of consistency and making sure that you're giving yourself challenges. Are there other things that you've challenged yourself to do?
Yeah, I did 300 days of meditating last year. I think for me, I know we're all feeling this. I feel so out of control with everything that's happening in the world right now. And I can't hold on to control in my company or we'll lose it. Like if I try and say that I know what's going to happen next week and put everything into a beautifully little outlined plan for my team, I'm just going to be wasting my time and theirs. So I can't control what's going to happen. And for me as a person that likes to try and figure out what's next, it's very challenging. And so putting a process in allows me to let go of that, to let go of that feeling of control and actually be a better leader for my team.
So let's talk about the team component a little bit for those that may not even really know Schofields. I mean, yeah. We jumped right in, but there may be someone living in a cave under a rock somewhere that doesn't know Schofield. So what's the elevator pitch?
So we call ourselves the most interesting store in the world. It's not because we're interesting. It's because we built a dynamic system that allows us to create these immersive stories, whether they're online or in our physical locations. We have two stores, one in New York City on Bond and Lafayette and one in Miami, where we can move all the parts in and out. So every 6 months, we close the curtains on the front of the store. And 4 days later, we lift the curtains and unveil an entirely new store. Everything from the elevator to the art to all of the brands. And we tell an entirely new story. And that's what's interesting. The fact that we've created a system where younger emerging brands and artists have a place where they can safely play in an affordable way means that we can showcase some of the craziest stuff out there. I mean, we literally scour the internet, find really out there stuff and bring it to the consumer. And we do that, you know, in the stores, but we also during COVID launched live video shopping curation. So everything from watching a yoga class where you can buy everything in the video to cooking classes to live art curations. And what actually is the most popular with our audience right now is our art curation. So seeing emerging artists, having different curators come and talk about that art has seemed to be pretty compelling on the digital side.
So really quickly, I have a question, but Jessica Carrera is saying that she loves your stories. You're very inspiring. So I just wanted to throw that into the mix.
Thanks, Jessica. You guys are inspiring. Everybody's inspiring if you're getting through every day right now.
So I just want to switch gears a little bit. Back in March, everybody was dealing with some external factors. Was there anything differently that you would have done with your company? just in general, there was obviously a mourning period, right? So there, in terms of how you adjusted, what the approach was, and ultimately, would you have done anything differently?
For sure. If you're doing everything perfect 100% of the time, you're not thinking hard enough about what you just did. So for me, we closed the store on March 15th, a day before the city actually mandated the shutdown, and locking that door and closing the store right before we were about to do our big switch. Our next switch was March 27th. And we had been working on that for a year. So the entire team had this moment of deep sadness, especially because in a company that's only, you know, at that point, 2.5, almost 3 years old, you put so much of yourself into it that when you hit a roadblock like that, sometimes there's actually like no gas left in the tank to like figure out even how to go forward. And I think we made the very quick decision to close the store, to let all of our brands know, not to charge our brands rent, to let all of our artists know, to stop everybody from traveling to New York to create the next installation, and to let our customers know that we were closed. And I think we were just going so quickly that we immediately went into an all hands meeting and we said, okay, as a company that is C-commerce or consumer commerce, how do we reinvent e-commerce? We didn't even give the team a day to figure out where they were going to be living, what they're going to be doing, how they're going to deal with this. And if I could go back in time, I would have just said, all emails are sent. Everybody knows what we're doing. Everybody take a day off and figure out where you're going to land and where you want to work from. And we know we're not at least coming back for 6 weeks, so figure out where you are. And as a leader, that was definitely my mistake. I should have pushed for that because I think we went into the next sprint pretty exhausted.
So what would have been the benefit to that from a motivational perspective, other than giving people that extra day to, you know, to breathe, to regroup? Because certainly it probably wouldn't have been enough rest to recoup, but do you think it would have shown just a higher sense of empathy and people needed that as part of their motivation?
It's power versus panic. The best decisions in business come from a place of power, of knowing your own permanence and trusting your own ability to reinvent yourself at every given moment. I had a mentor at one point who said, a founder's job is to run against 99 walls a day and find a way over or around. And I think that was a particular wall that I hit and panicked. And I wish, in retrospect, if I had been able to stand in my power and I had been able to stand in my faith in my team and the people around me and everything that we have built and say, we're going to be okay, it would have been meaningful across the entire organization. And I think it was just such a shock to the system. And I think everybody was just so panicked that then we went into that next round of decision-making from a place of like, we can't lose the business versus we have this amazing thing, now what? And it took us a few days to get to the now what. Whereas I think if we had come into the room in a place of we're gonna be okay, we would have gotten there faster.
So let's go through that conversation. So it's March. You are told to shut down. Everybody has to go home, figure out working from home virtually. You don't know if you're going back into the office. You don't know. There's so many unknowns. You don't know if the business is going to succeed. You almost like have to hit a reset button. So walk us through what happened. How did you get back on track? Because 3 weeks later, you guys were up and rolling.
I am very fortunate for the people around me. So I think that says a lot about team, right? The people around you and, you know, how you work with them. And I think I'm very lucky that my co-founder, Tal, who is really the Walt Disney behind all of this and the man with the inspiration of Schofield, and he was the one with the seed that came forward and planted it and built all the people around it to make sure it could grow. And I'm very lucky that he chose me to be his co-founder in that endeavor. But he stepped forward and he had COVID. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he literally had just been diagnosed with COVID, and we were all quarantined because we had all been around him. Luckily, like, no one else got sick, which I don't understand. But not only had we shut the store, but we were all in our houses, like, panicked that we had given COVID to everyone and that we might die. And he just stepped up and he was like, you're the smartest people. We will figure this out. Like, what is C-commerce? What is consumer commerce? Imagine the store and what its essence is. What is the assets? And so we wrote these lists of what the assets were, and it's the people and it's the brands and it's the artists. But when it really boiled down, it was the storytelling that was important. That was what we were doing that was different. Mm-hmm. And so we paired that with how do you make storytelling come to life in a way that's shoppable online and fun. And we were like, Instagram live video shopping blows. Like, we don't want to do that. Like, how do we make it different? And yeah, 3 weeks later, we launched live video shopping. We now have like our own TV network. We're 3 live shows tomorrow. We do anywhere from 5 to 7 live shows a week. They're really highly attended and people shop them. And we onboarded over 100 new brands onto our e-commerce and went down this whole other path. But like, it all sounds so glamorous now. It was such a struggle. And the thing I hate most when I like listen to different founders talk is like, it's always beautiful in 2020 vision, right? Like when you look back,
2020 vision.
Not 2020, yeah, not 2020 anymore. Oh God. When you look back, it all looks so seamless. Our entire store team had to learn how to be an e-commerce team, having never done e-commerce in their life. Like, we have this amazing woman, Katie O'Neill, who was running the events in the loft and the community at the store, who's now the head of our e-com. And wow, she had to teach herself like how to do that. So it's not like an easy thing, but here we are, right? And I think that that's, it could have failed. It could have gone miserably wrong too.
Was there a higher meaning or purpose that drove all of this? Because I see a lot of people who are fighting for survival driven by necessity. I have to eat, I have to pay bills, I've got to, you know, keep it moving. There are some people that are fighting out of the reluctance to let go of something. I built this much, I refuse to let it go, even though it may no longer make sense, you know, moving forward in this new environment. It sounds like something else was driving you beyond your team, beyond the economics of what was happening. And I don't know, but it feels like maybe it was passion for what your purpose.
There's magic in show fields. There always has been. And that's rare. I've worked across 34 companies now. You know, and for me, after I left Warby, I was a consultant across 32 different companies in 5 years, 4 companies at a time. I've met most of the teams that are out there in New York doing this. There is magic in show fields that inherently makes it worth it. When it works for show fields, it just works. There's something beautiful about it. And I think when there's magic and when you've seen it, it's worth doing whatever you can to save it. I mean, who cares if you sleep? Who cares if you try 10 million things and fail at 999 of them, 9,999 of them? Like, you gotta try. And I also think I feel very responsible to my team. I think we sold them all on this mission and on this, and they're some of the smartest people in their field. I didn't want to call them up and say, we didn't do it. I was wrong. Like, I'm sorry. Good luck finding a job right now. I know how hard it is. Like, I couldn't do that. Like, we have the store back open right now, and I don't care if we have to limit it to only 10 people coming through a day in order to keep my store team safe. Like, I'll do it. Like, I'm not, like, it's a family. We have to stay together. And I think in doing everything that we can, I think your team feels that too. They feel how much they mean to you and how hard you're trying. And they see you every day now in your home. and they see how hard you're working, there's no kind of escape from it. I think we're all working 14 to 16 hour days now because like there is no start between real life and work life anymore. It's just, it is. And they know, I think we all know how hard we're all trying to make this work and to make it a success.
Yeah. By the way, I apologize for my virtual background. I felt like it was really distracting. So just like in every situation, we have to switch gears. So
you're in a car. I love this.
Well, from our previous conversation, you know, they were ripping apart my house. So they just ripped out my kitchen and here I am.
But Dahlia, that's badass. Like, I think those things are badass. When someone is like, when I'm interviewing people for jobs right now and they're so transparent about where they are in their life and what's going on, I love it. I hated all the glossiness that we were living in. I like the grittiness. I'm 36 years old and I'm living at home with my mom and dad. I don't want to see someone else's life looking perfect right now. And I don't think anybody else does either.
I agree. And that really resonated with me. And that's why I was like, you know what? Here goes the virtual background. But you know what? Honestly, that really speaks to me about the value of relationships, right? We've had a couple of conversations at this point. And to me, I feel so connected to you because we've been able to be real and honest with each other. And the value of relationship building has been so essential. Are there any companies that you feel like have stepped up just to give back to the community, regardless of where it was beneficial for them?
You know, it's been incredible to watch everybody within the community try and support one another. And I think one of the most shocking ones for us is we just signed a contract with American Express. And like, who is necessarily thinking about doing physical retail right now while we're all still trying to get on our feet again? And like, you know, for Schofields, like we're getting back up there, but like it's a hard time. And American Express stepped up, did a curation with Coco and Breezy of 10 founders of color in the store and promoted it like to all of their channels and fundamentally changed the web traffic for our business and the store traffic while supporting 10 small Black-owned businesses. Like, put your money where your mouth is as a company. American Express did that. Yeah. And so, like, that changed my belief in them in a way that I can never go back from. Like, they're in a different category of corporation now. And similarly, we have very big partnerships coming up over holiday, which I'm shocked about because I'm like, who, like, these are companies that for 2 years I've been calling them every day being like, want to work together? And they've been like, get bigger and we'll talk about it. And then like when this all kind of went down, they were like, oh, we love you. We don't want you guys to go out of business. We're going to step in and help.
Wow.
And I was shocked. Shocked. Like Johnny Walker's doing a giant art installation in the store with this emerging artist and like paying them an incredible amount of money that's going to be fundamentally life-changing for their year. And like this piece is going to speak to what's happening in New York right now. Like these are companies stepping up in a time in which like some of the other companies can't.
Do you think some of this is karmic? It's the karma that you've put in through the values that Schofields represented initially, like the decision-making process between the brands you decided to work with, the business model that you chose. And so you're just actually a beneficiary of good karma at the moment. I do believe that karma is connected to motivation too.
I think karma and what you put out in the world and how you work with people. We've worked with over 150 brands now at Schofields in 3 years. And I'm very proud to say that like, call any of them up and ask about what their experience was like. It doesn't mean that they had complete sell through and that they were a huge retail success, but they will always say that like, we did everything that we could to make them successful. And I think that's meaningful. I also think we only curate things we want to see in the world. So we have three, you know, qualifications that we use for the brands that we invite to be part of Schofields, because every brand that you see there has been invited in. We curate. So we use mission-driven, well-made, and innovative. And if someone doesn't fit those three criteria, we can't work with them. And so what that means is we end up with all these crazy mission-driven companies that are creating sustainable packaging and vegan cruelty-free makeup and like breaking the mold on anything and everything from reusable Ziploc bags to like, you know, making food out of things I'd never even heard of previously. And for me to be surrounded by that, I think it does create energy that other people want to take part in, which I think is karma to some extent.
We're getting some great comments, by the way. Cindy Rojas just said that she loves the transparencies in this meeting. Tashara said that she worked at Schofield's before the madness and she loves it.
Hi, Tashara. How are you?
And by the way, I think that that's so heartwarming to me to hear from somebody that worked at your establishment, and they really like, they have such passion. They have such love for it. And it seems like that sentiment goes across the board. We haven't hit on this question, but how are you keeping your whole team motivated?
I think there, it's understanding right now that there are ups and downs, right? I think you can't expect everybody to be completely on all the time right now, and you can't expect people to be completely off. I think our team realizes from the fact that the entire management team, you know, has taken salary cuts to keep the team together through this year, hence living at home with mom and dad, to, you know, just being there. I think that if you create a safe environment for people to work and thrive in, and you create systems in which they can be successful and they can have wins, I think that that's the best environment, right? Like nobody wants their hand held and like told how to do anything. So I think one of the best things Schofield's does is it sets really strong KPIs and goals for each of our employees and then lets them run. Like they're going and they're innovating, and I'm just standing there being really impressed. So
more than that.
But they're great. I don't know how we're keeping them motivated, to be honest. Like I have no good answer for that. Like we're having fun. I mean, we're getting to do cool stuff. I mean, imagine someone handing you a building and saying, cool, everybody here, you can build whatever you want. Here's the budget. Like it's insane. Like the things people come up with. I mean, it's why we have a slide from the third floor to the second floor. Like people are amazingly creative and they're given all the resources in the world to do fun stuff. And like, I think that's motivating. I think it's fun. I mean, I never thought anyone was going to give me a building and be like, good luck, make this something cool.
Maybe that's the answer in itself, right? You have the ability to just be creative during this time without limitations.
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely no limitations right now. And all ideas are good ideas. We'll try them.
Yeah.
So you've talked about being a storyteller. You've talked about being a magician. I feel like you're the P.T. Barnum of retail. And we now know that it's not content that's king, it's curation that's king or queen.
For sure.
Are there elements of magic, curation, storytelling that you find in other parts of your life that you use as inspiration to keep you motivated with regards to the business piece? Obviously, I'm sure you've got a wonderful eye and you're constantly finding inspiration from the outside world, but you must be either intrinsically a curator or a magician or a storyteller in other parts of your life.
So I would say that my co-founder Tal is the magician. He's the P.T. Barnum. And I would say that I'm a storyteller at heart. I love a great story. I love to hear a great story. I love to read a good story. I love to tell a great story. And those two things together, because he can manifest anything. He can manifest the building, a second building in Miami, you know, all of this crazy stuff, and then I get to tell a story with it. And I have the support of my third co-founder, Amir, who grounds everything. He is the little engine that could. He gets everything over the line. He makes the impossible possible when it comes to business, real estate deals, like hiring. He like manifests all the stuff that like I'm not great at. And Tal manifests all the magic around everything we're doing. And so you put those three things together and I get to do what I love, which is, I'm sure what you guys love as marketers, which is getting to tell a great story and having some of the assets to do that, fake it till you make it on the other assets, right? But yeah, I mean, I mean, clearly I used to be a theater major, so like storytelling for me, love it. Let's tell stories all day. Who ever thought that would turn into a job or a career? My parents definitely didn't when I graduated and was an extra, but you know, I feel like I use my theater education all the time, from putting on live performances in the middle of the night from Sleep No More to we had an actual live theater performance that when you got to the bottom of the slide, you went through at Showfields for a period of time. But for me, I don't know. I think I'm an optimist at heart. I think that I care a lot about the things that I put out in the world. And I think that that matters. And I think I am constantly writing and rewriting my own story and the story of the things around me. And I think sometimes it helps, sometimes it hurts. It's definitely sometimes a little overly critical of every little thing and wants to change it and wants to always be manifesting different things. But at its heart and its core, I think that I always want the Disney movie outcome. Like I always want like the happy, amazing, like, oh, moment in everyday life. So
I think that's part of what a lot of people were dealing with throughout COVID, that they thought that they were working towards their Disney ending, their movie ending, and this was a plot change, very unexpected plot change.
But I think the thing you realize is there's no such thing as an aha moment at the end of all of it. Nothing ever ties up in the perfect bow. And so it's about finding those moments in your day to day. So for me, I pick a song of the day every morning when I wake up. I go through my Spotify and I wait until I find like the perfect song, and I won't do anything until I find it. And sometimes it can be like 30 minutes until I get it. But when I have it, I put it on and then I get out of bed and I'm like, this is today. This is what I'm going to do.
A motivation song. You have a daily motivation song. That is a new best practice for our podcast. We've had people turn us on to books, mantras, but a motivation song is that's a new level, right, Dahlia?
We need to put together a playlist, 100%.
We drop your playlists as part of the promotion of the podcast. I think it's going to be the most motivating.
If my dear friends like in the morning will get a song from me and they'll get like a today we're gonna make it happen guys, like let's go out and crush it, and like, and they're like, oh my god, it's 5 a.m. hunt, go back to bed. But like that's
I be on the text back. Message chain. So really quickly, I know
you're getting one tomorrow. It's happening.
I love it. I want to be on that text message chain because I'm up at 5 a.m. every day. And Nancy knows this. Pablo knows this. He gets my messages super early and nobody's awake with me.
I love that time of day. It's my favorite.
So I want to touch on the fact that you've talked about Tal quite a bit. And the interesting part is we know Tal. Tal joined us at the Wharton Business School Ideathon that I hosted back in January, and Pablo was part of it. So I think when you speak about him, the only part that we're missing is the energy that he brings into a room that we were able to see firsthand. And that to me just speaks about surrounding yourself with amazing, wonderful people, right? And as long as, yeah. And as long as you're surrounded with amazing, wonderful people, for some reason, things come to fruition. Things are able to happen a little bit easier. When we eliminate friction points and we put together a team of people that just want to do stuff, I think that's motivating in itself.
Yeah. And also it's just like you look around and you're like, wow, like they did that. Like I'm in. Like, where do I sign up? How do I get involved? Like, we have this woman who's our head curator, her name is Tam, and she curates all of our artists. And she's the one who goes through all the applications and figures out who, what artists we're gonna put in what store and what stories. And she used to have this company called Raw Pop-Up, where she would take over these crazy warehouses in Miami and transform them into these really raw, dark pop-up situations that had like artists in them and performers and like circus acts, and they were really cool and very weird. She's so cool. Yeah, exactly. Like, she's so cool. I think I've tried to like up my art knowledge and art game just because she's on the team, and I just don't want to be embarrassed like when I chat with her because she's cool. And I'm like, so like, have you seen this? And I'm clearly like reading that article off to one side. But I think it's something to be inspired by the people around you, right? And I think FIT is an environment in which you can meet a lot of incredibly creative people who are doing a lot of different things. And I think the thing I didn't realize in college was that I would go on to work with a lot of those people in different capacities and cross paths with them. And we would have this shared DNA of things that we knew about each other and projects that we'd worked on that really bonds you to someone else. And so I would say, like, if I could go back in time to college, I would do a lot more like crazy weird group projects and meet even more people doing weird things because they ended up being really cool people.
Interesting. So we're getting some really positive responses in the chat. Lauren Batista is saying how she loves how you have a very realistic outlook because life is so full of ups and downs. And she likes that you have an understanding about not everyone having everything together, especially through the pandemic. She appreciates your positive outlook. I think I want to reference the comment right above from Rosanna, where she has a question about being an unemployed student. Yeah. Because look, this has been hard for a lot of people, right? She mentioned that she has had some positions lined up. They've been canceled. Sorry, I'm just recapping it really quickly. But she also wants to know from your perspective, how would you manage not feeling discouraged by this?
I don't think you can, right? I think like one of the worst pieces of advice I've ever gotten is this idea of not feeling something, right? If you're feeling discouraged, that's totally okay. And it's totally reasonable during this time to feel that and process that. What I think is going to come out of this time is this is in the same way that in a company, you are running up against a wall and trying to figure out how to get around it. This is an opportunity to try that in real life. Like, it's not an ideal situation. It feels like an insurmountable task. And the only way you're going to get up and around that wall is through innovation, is through creativity. Some of the most amazing businesses and some of the best times in industry have come from very dark times in our economic and historical past. Because what happens is when that happens, when everything that you thought was going to take place is no longer on the table, a bunch of people actually step up and figure a way around the wall in a way that no one would have ever thought about, and they create an entirely new industry. So I would say that this is practice for what it's like to be in any company. This is that feeling of discouragement, feel it, and then figure out a way around the wall. And it's not easy. And no one has like the answer of like, go on LinkedIn and send your resume. BS, BS, BS. You're smart. Figure out how to get around it. Who do you know who can help you? Who do you know who's around to start something? Who do you know that is next to you in the trenches right now? How do you guys help each other? Like that, the only things that you have to work with are things that you can invent. And this is the time to invent.
In the words of Devani in the chat, amen.
It's a shitty time, guys. I'm sorry. Like, I wish it was better. I promise that for my first 3 years in New York, it was not glamorous, and it's still not glamorous. Again, living at home with my mom and dad, guys. Like, no one is having this amazing time, but like, that's life. And the people that succeed in this are the people that acknowledge when they're in the shit and figure out a way to get around it. And the more times you do it, the better you get at it. And the less you get impacted when you hit another wall. So like, I can't wait for the cover letters that I'm gonna get on the other side of this, of what people did with this time. I can't wait to read, you know, about what people invented and did during their college time or their post-college years because of this. Like, I'm really excited to hear
the
story.
It's interesting that there was this trend of all the comments regarding transparency, keeping it real, the imperfect, things not being ideal in any way. And it's this, it's like wabi-sabi, right? It's the perfect in the imperfect. And it sounds like you've been able to embrace that and nearly use it as a way to move forward. Did that involve letting go? What were some of the things that you let go of in that process?
Everything. Guys, I'm working out for 100 days straight in order to feel some part of control, guys. Because, like, I opened a store before a pandemic. Like, it was not ideal. But again, in the same way I said that I would love to look back and say that on March 16th, I had come from a place of power and told everybody, take the day off, we'll figure this out. Like, you'll all figure it out. It's a terrible time, but we'll all figure it out. We'll all get to the other side of this. There's no other way. It's not like we're all just gonna stay on the other side of this wall.
Just as I said that the hobbies that people pursue or the interests, the extracurricular interests are usually a metaphor for something else that they're putting together, like your sewing. The workouts that people do are often a metaphor for the position that they're in, either to gain additional flexibility, to carry a heavier load, to, you know, you can go to be flight of foot and flexible. You can find things within your workout that are actually a representation of the skills that you're looking to find or the power that you're looking to find in your real life. So,
Pavel, I love that.
Your 100-day workout is probably part of that journey.
So we actually have a running list of books that our guests have recommended.
Oh, good.
So if there is one book that you would highly recommend, what would it be?
So I always like, in the past week, I'm reading these two books and it always reminds me of, there's a movie called Wedding Crashers and there's a scene where Owen Wilson is found in his apartment and Vince Vaughn says, are you reading Don't Kill Yourself books? Like, I'm not reading Don't Kill Yourself books, but I'm definitely reading things that are a little bit more on the inspirational side. One is called Journey to the Heart. It is a daily meditation. There are 365 of them. They are dated. You read it and then you meditate on what the passage is. Mm-hmm. And one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten about meditation is, why would you meditate when hungry? Like, feed that meditation with something that's really great for your brain to process, because then you have more likely to get conclusions versus being like, my nose itches, I really wish I wasn't doing this. And the other is called When Things Fall Apart, which is about 20 years old, but I think very relevant for right now.
Yeah, those are fantastic. What's the best way to stay in touch with you? And they could probably, Devani could reach out directly, I would think.
If you're fundraising, go to thefund.vc and submit your company there. We look at everything that comes in, I promise. So that's one. Two, if you have a startup and in 5 years from now, you have an incredible fashion line and you want to put it at Schofield's, I look at everything that comes into the inbound there as well. I promise. We look at everything there for placement. We look at everything for curation. Sometimes a young brand is just the exact right fit for something we're doing. And, you know, we have all different things we can do in that front. Four, job stuff, LinkedIn. I'm on there all the time. Friend me. Send me a message on LinkedIn. If I can help you and it's a direct question and you're persistent enough, I will.
So we're just getting a request. What was the website again? Thefund.vc, right?
Thefund.vc. If you are fundraising. Now, know when you're fundraising and when you're not fundraising. I have an idea and I have done no work. You are not fundraising. Do not come to the fund. You're not ready yet. I have a deck and I have an idea and I've tried some things and I know what direction I think I'm going in, and I've put this deck together and it is great and I know how much money I need to do this. Come to the fund. We're happy to chat.
Katie, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for being a part of this and sharing all this with our students. We're beyond appreciative.
I appreciate it for you guys. What a fun break in the day.
Have an extra 30 seconds?
Yeah. What is this?
So we partnered with Amazon Alexa, and they have asked us to put together just like a quick, like, I don't know, 10-second motivated, just kind of briefing, and then we air it on when you say, Alexa, what is today's motivated podcast flash briefing? So that's when you hear this briefing. It's been fantastic. So we'd love to air yours if you have any words of inspiration or motivation that we could share.
Okay, I got one then. Find your superpower. There is something you are amazing at that no one else can do as well as you. And if you find it, it means you get to do something you love every day.
I love that. That was fantastic. Thank you so much. We're getting so much appreciation in the comments. Everybody here has been super appreciative. We've been extremely appreciative. And we're going to have to put another one of these together so that we can hear about what's been going on in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait, guys. Thank you again. Always such a pleasure. And it's always just a great privilege to get a moment in a crazy day to talk about how awesome the team is. It makes me even more excited to go back and see them on Slack right now.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the Motivated Podcast and also stay tuned on LinkedIn and Instagram for some behind the scenes and extra updates.